بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. صدق الله العظيم. Honored ulama, my respected elders, beloved brothers, friends and listeners in Islam, all praises belongs to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, the creator, the sustainer, the nourisher, the maker, the fashioner, the originator of the heavens and the earth, that everything that we see in existence has come into existence by the will, the command, the qudra, and the power of one Allah alone. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that has brought everything into existence, and everything that Allah has brought into existence is in the knowledge and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being that is absolutely unique in His attributes, in His qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that أعظم من كل عظيم أعز من كل عزيز أجل من كل جليل أقوى من كل قوي أكرم من كل كريم أكبر من كل كبير. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that is more mighty than anything with might. Allah is more majestic than anything with majesty. Allah is more supreme than anything with supremacy. Allah is more glorious than anything with glory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more kind and more compassionate than anything that displays His kindness and compassion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more powerful than anything with power. And Allah is the greatest, and there's absolutely nothing or no one that is greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon our greatest leader, master and mentor. And that is none other than Nabiyuna wa Habibuna Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah the Almighty to bless him, his household, and every single one of his noble companions. My respected brothers and friends and listeners, you know, if there was any individual who was complete in every regard, and the life of whom that served as a beacon of light, hidayat and guidance for people from every walk of life, then that individual is undeniably one personality, and that is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, there was one sahabi by the name of Hassan ibn Thabit radiyallahu an, and this particular sahabi was given the title of Sha'ir Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was known as the poet of the Nabi. So he had compiled many beautiful poems in praise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of his famous poems in which he praises the Nabi of Allah, he says, وَأَحْسَنَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَ قَطُّ عَيْنِي. That more perfect than you, no eye has ever seen before. وَأَجْمَلَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ. That more beautiful than you, no eye has ever seen before. خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ. He says that you have been created such that you are free from every defect and flaw. كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. He then says, it is as if you have been created in the manner, in the way that you desire to be created. In another beautiful praise, he says, وَمَا مَدَحْتُ مُحَمَّدًا بِمَقَالَتِي. That I could not sufficiently praise Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by my mere words, but rather my words became praiseworthy by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. This very same sahabi, prior to him accepting Islam, it is mentioned that the kuffar and the disbelievers came to him, and they offered him a lump sum of money, and they gave him a task and a mission, and they told him, you know what, we want you to ridicule, mock and make fun of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Hassan ibn Thabit was someone that was sharp with his tongue and he was quite good at making fun of others. So anyway, he received the money and he went and stood on top of the hill, and he was awaiting for the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that he could make fun of him. Marra misbahu dhulam. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his appearance, and the first time Hassan ibn Thabit locked eyes with the Nabi of Allah, he was dumbfounded. He had absolutely nothing to say. So anyway, he goes back to the kuffar and the disbelievers, and he says, you know what, I have no need for this money. And as for the one that you wanted me to ridicule and mock and make fun of, I bear witness, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. In front of them, he embraces Islam. Now the kuffar and the disbelievers, they are shocked, they are amazed and astonished. Oh Hassan, what has gotten into you? I mean, we sent you with a mission, we sent you with a task, we gave you money, you happily accepted the offer, now you have come back and you have embraced Islam. So Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu an then replied to them in a poetic form in where he says, Lamma ra'aytu anwarahu sata'at. That when I seen his light shining forth, this is in reference to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَضَعْتُ مِنْ خِيفَةِ كَفِّي عَلَىٰ بَصَرِي. Out of fear, I place my palms over my eyes. خَوْفًا عَلَىٰ بَصَرِي مِنْ حُسْنِ سُورَتِهِ. Fearing losing my eyesight because of the beautiful countenance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. خَوْفًا عَلَىٰ بَصَرِي مِنْ حُسْنِ سُورَتِهِ فَلَسْتُ أَنْذُرُهُ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ قَدْرِي. Because of the beautiful countenance of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, I was unable to look directly at the face of the Nabi of Allah. He then goes on to say, Ruhum min al-nur fi jismin min al-qamari. He says, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like a spirit of light that was lodged in a body like that of the moon. Kahilniyatin nusijat min al-anjum zuhri. He says, because of this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like a mantle of brilliant and shining stars. So that is why it is mentioned, you know, the character, the demeanor, the akhlaq and the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such that whoever looked at him once, they got mesmerized and immediately they accepted Islam. Except for those individuals who looked at him with the wrong eye, those who had malice and jealousy and hatred within their heart. Abdullah ibn Salam radiyallahu an, as we know, he was a great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this was prior to him accepting Islam. He was a chief rabbi of Madinatul Munawwara. So he says that one day he came out to meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the first time he locked his eyes with the Nabi of Allah and he looked at the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he could even utter a single word, what did he say? He said, Laysa biwajhi kadhab. This is definitely not a face of a liar. This is definitely not a face of a liar. The Arab poet very beautifully says the translation. He says that everyone agreed to the beautiful conduct and character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even his own enemy and foe used to say that as much as we disagree with this man's faith, but one thing we can say for sure is Muhammad is the best human. So my respected brothers, friends and listeners, as people of Iman and part of this Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's of paramount importance for every single one of us to realize and understand the importance of us learning the seerah and the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order for you and I to draw inspiration from his Mubarak life. Verse of Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Allah says, certainly for you in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a perfect example. So as we all know that we are in the third month of the lunar calendar, and that is the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, and this is a significant month, it's a blessed month. Why? It's because of certain events that took place in this Mubarak month. One of the things that transpired and happened in this month was the birth of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As it is unanimously agreed upon that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born on a Monday, and that was the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal. Some narration says the 8th, but unanimously it is agreed upon that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in this month. Another significant event that took place in this month was the Hijrah and the immigration from Makkah to Al-Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this Mubarak month, also the wafat and the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took place. So there was a sahabi with regards to the birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a sahabi by the name of Uthman ibn al-As radiyallahu an. His mother Fatima, she says that she noticed when Amina radiyallahu anha was about to give birth to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, The room that they were in was filled with nur, light, and effulgence. And she says that she noticed that particular night that the stars were stooping so low. And Fatima says, meaning this is the mother of Uthman ibn al-As radiallahu an, she says that she thought one of the stars was going to come down crashing upon her. So the ulama and the scholars explain with regards to the stooping of the stars so low, that this was a clear indication that very soon a great personality is going to come into this world. Such a personality that he will come as rahmatul lil alameen, as a mercy for the entire universe. He will come as a nur and a light into this world, and he will eradicate every form of dalala, misguidance, darkness and disbelief. And that was the coming of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Allah makes mention in one verse of the Quran Kareem. Ya ayyuhan nas qad ja'akum min Allah nurun wa kitabun mubin. Allah says, O insan, certainly it has come to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a nur, a light. This is in reference to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa kitabun mubin, and a clear book, that is in reference to the Quran Kareem. So my respected brothers, friends and listeners, every single one of us, we need to consider ourselves really fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has blessed us with a beautiful deen, and that is the deen of Islam. Allah has blessed us with a great Nabi, and that is Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah has blessed us with the best of kitabs, and that is the Quran Kareem. So in this zamana, and in this time that we're living in, as we can all see on a daily basis, as we're getting closer to Qiyamah, the trials, the tribulations, the challenges are on an increase on a daily basis. And what is the solution? The ulama say one of these solutions is that we need to learn the Mubarak Sunnah and the Mubarak life of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the last and the final messenger of Allah. In a hadith of Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says with regards to finality of his prophethood, that inna mathali wa mathal al-anbiya'i min qabli kamathali rajulin bana baytan fa ahsanahu wa ajmalahu illa mawdi'a labinatin min zawiyah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that certainly my example and the example of the preceding anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam is like a man that built a house, he decorated it, he beautified it. فَجَعَلَ النَّاسُ يَطُوفُونَ بِهِ وَيَعْجُبُونَ وَيَقُولُونَ هَلَّا وُضِعَتْ هَذِهِ اللَّبِنَةِ قَالْ فَأَنَا اللَّبِنَةُ وَأَنَا خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, so a man built a very beautiful home. Now as the people came into that house and they marveled at his beauty, they were astonished and amazed. But then they came to one part of the house and there was a brick that was missing. Now people started questioning the reason why the brick was missing. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَأَنَا اللَّبِنَا, that I am that brick, وَأَنَا خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ, and I am the seal of all prophets. لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي, there is no Nabi, there is no prophet that is going to come after me. وَلَا أُمَّةَ بَعْدَ أُمَّتِي, neither is there any ummah that will come after the ummah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now let's move forward with regards to the upbringing of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is mentioned that 3 or 4 days after Amina radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, gave birth to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she had breastfed him for about 3 or 4 days. Thereafter there was a lady by the name of Thuwayba. So Thuwayba was the slave girl of Abu Lahab, and that was the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she breastfed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is mentioned that when she came to Abu Lahab with the great news that, you know what, Muhammad has been born, Abu Lahab was happy at that moment of time, and he says, you know what, as from today you are free slave, you can go. So Thuwayba, she breastfed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only him, but she breastfed the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. So in relation, he was the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but as well they were milk brothers. And another person that Thuwayba had breastfed was a person by the name of Abu Salama radiallahu anhu. So these were the three people that were breastfed by Thuwayba. And later on, another lady that had breastfed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Halima Sa'diyah. Halima Sa'diyah took care of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for some time. So now if you study the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the things that you will come to notice is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed many challenges, many tests in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us take a look. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was born, his father Abdullah, he had already passed on. So the Nabi of Allah is coming into the world is an orphan. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being taken care of by his mother Amina radiallahu anha. And as we mentioned for some time, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went into the care of Halima Sa'diyah. And then when he returned back to his mother, at the age of 6 years, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mother passes away. Now he's a complete orphan. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes into the care of his grandfather Abdul Muttalib. As we know that he was a man of prestige, he was a man of honor, he was a man of respect, that everyone respected him in the society. But it happens when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns 8 years of age, his grandfather is also leaves and departs from this world. So this is actually a consolation for all the orphans out there. Many a times a person feels that, why is Allah testing me in this way? Why is it that I do not have parents in my life? Is it because Allah doesn't love me? No. Allah loves every single one of us. And that's a sign that Allah loves you. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى إِذَا أَحَبَّ عَبَدًا إِبْتَلَى. When Allah loves a certain individual, then Allah will put him through the most test. As we see in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right into his nubuwwah, in the few minutes that we have, we will see what kind of challenges that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through. But the most important thing, my respected friends and listeners, is that when we are going through these challenges in life, we should not complain to others. Al-jahilu yashku Allah ila nas. This is actually the pinnacle of ignorance. Sometimes halat, bad conditions come to us in life, then many a times you find people making the statements, but why me? Why not this person? Why is Allah testing me in this way? We need to be vigilant, we need to be careful, because if we are patient, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely reward us. So we find after his grandfather passes away, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then goes into the care of his uncle Abu Talib. As we know, Abu Talib, he had a son by the name of Ali radiallahu anhu. So Ali ibn Talib radiallahu anhu was the cousin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was the son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was married to the daughter of the Nabi of Allah, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha. And their two sons, Hassan and Hussein. What does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say regarding the Ahlul Bayt? With regards to Hassan and Hussein, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Sayyida Shababi Ahlil Jannah. As we hear in the khutbah every Friday, that they will be the leaders of the youth in Jannah. With regards to Fatima radiallahu anha, that this was the favorite daughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah. That she will be the queen of all of the women in Jannah. So, another great event that took place, you know, there's so much we can say about the seerah, but the time that we have is not sufficient enough. You know, we find that another event that took place was that of Shaqqus Sadr, and that is the splitting of the chest. With regard to Shaqqus Sadr, it is mentioned that this occurred four times in the Mubarak life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the first time it transpired, the Nabi of Allah was 4 years of age, and one day he was playing and he was, you know, grazing in the fields. And it happened that two men that were clothed in white, they came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that was Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam and Mikael alayhi salatu wa salam. So they came to the Nabi of Allah, they had a golden tray in their hands, it was laden with ice, and they approached the Nabi of Allah. So anyway, they got a hold of him, they split the chest of the Nabi of Allah open, then they took out the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they split his heart, and then from there they removed few pieces of congealed blood. And what did they say at that moment of time? That this is a portion from shaitan. After that, they closed the heart of the Nabi of Allah. They returned in his place. And they placed a seal of prophet wood between the shoulder base of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next time it transpired was when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 10 years of age. And at this time, the reason why it took place was to remove any sort of inclination within the heart for fun, play, and amusement, because as we know, that these things divert a person from the remembrance of Allah. The third time it transpired is when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received prophethood at the age of 40. And the reason why the ulama and the scholars say that this transpired was in order to prepare Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this great concern regarding the ummah. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could withhold and withstand the wahi and the revelation that was going to come down upon him. And the fourth time it transpired was at the time of Mi'raj, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made imamat for all of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam at the time. And the Nabi of Allah was then taken to the Samawat. And so many events were shown to the Nabi of Allah. And the reason the ulamas and the scholars say why Shaqq al-Sadr took place at that time was in order for him to withhold all of the events that was going to be shown to him. Now let's move on a bit further. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grew up to be a young man, he was the most polite, he was the most kind, he was a man of good akhlaq, good conduct and good character, that whoever met the Nabi of Allah once, immediately they were mesmerized, as we mentioned earlier, and everyone wanted to deal with him because of his trustworthiness and his truthfulness. The people used to come to him with the amana and the trust, and they used to give it to the Nabi of Allah, but not once did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do anything that would make people doubt him. And because of all of this, as a culmination, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the title of As-Sadiqul Amin, the truthful one and the one that is trustworthy. So my respected brothers and friends, with regards to akhlaq and character, wallahi, you can never find anyone that was better in akhlaq and character than Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does he teach us regarding character? He says, "Ma shay'un athqalu fi mizan al-mu'min yawm al-qiyamah min khuluqin hasanin." He says there will be nothing that will be more weighty on the scales of justice on the day of Qiyamah than good akhlaq and character. And such was the character of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Allah addressed him and Allah said to him, "Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin 'azim." That certainly you, O Muhammad, you're upon the highest level of akhlaq and character. So on a daily basis, you and I need to ask ourselves certain questions. That am I the best possible person to my spouse? Am I the best possible person to my children? Am I the best possible person to the people that are employed by me? If the answer is no, then we need to make an effort on ourselves, because the time is coming where we will stand in the court of Allah and Allah will question us regarding our akhlaq and character with the rest of the creation of Allah. So after that, we find even when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, you know, to Syria for trade, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time, Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu anha was the boss of the Nabi of Allah. But when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned from this particular journey, he gave accountability for every sin that was made. That was the quality that he had within him. And that is what we need to implement within our lives as well. And because of this akhlaq and character, Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, our mother, she sent a proposal for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to get married to him. And the Nabi of Allah, at that time, he was happy, he accepted the proposal. And this was 2 months and 25 days after the Syrian trade journey. And at the time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 25 years of age, and she was 40 years of age. Anyway, let's move a bit forward. We find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was given this mantle of prophethood, and he was blessed with nubuwwah, we find that the very same people that called the Nabi of Allah, As-Sadiqul Amin, the truthful one, the trustworthy one, people loved him, people cared for him. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took on this task of calling people to the wahdaniyat and the oneness of Allah, then the dynamics changed. The very same people started calling him kadhib, a liar, a soothsayer, a magician. And the people went against him. Study the seerah and you will come to realize how much of hurt they caused the Nabi of Allah. But this didn't stop Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from warning them what is going to happen to them after they leave this world. One occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with his family members and a few people. And the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked the people that were there, that if I have to tell you that there's an army behind this, you know, there's an army that is coming behind this mountain, will you believe me? So every single one of them in one voice, they said, of course we will believe you, Ya Rasulullah. Of course we will believe you. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I'm warning you of a punishment that is going to come if you're not going to accept this message that I'm giving you. And every single one of them, at that time, they changed their attitude. And his uncle Abu Lahab says, woe to you, what is wrong with you? At this moment, that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses of Surah Al-Lahab, tabbat yada abi lahabin watab, because of the kind of attitude that they had at that moment of time. So my respected brothers and friends, one thing that you will notice in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that the Nabi of Allah had love for every single one of us. On one occasion, the Nabi of Allah is sitting, And he tells the companions, وَجِدْتُ أَنِّي لَقِيْتُ إِخْوَانِي, that how I desire and how I wish that I could meet my brothers. أَوَلَيْسَ نَحْنُ إِخْوَانُكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. The Sahaba then asks, are we not your brothers, Ya Rasulullah? The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَنْتُمْ أَصْحَابِي, that no, you are my companions. وَلَكِنْ إِخْوَانِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِي وَلَمْ يَرَوْنِي, but my brothers are those who are going to come in the future. They did not see me, but they will bring iman in me. They will believe in me. So the Nabi of Allah, he loved for every single one of us. So on a daily basis, my respected brothers, friends and listeners, we need to ask ourselves a few questions. That am I a true lover of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You know, one thing is lip service. One thing is for myself to say ma'ashike Rasul. But from head to toe, my life is away from the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you study the lives of Sahaba, when they said, I love you, Ya Rasulullah, this came from the depths of their heart, that they meant what they said. One narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, and I will terminate with this. She says, جَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَوْمًا فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّكَ لَأَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِن نَفْسِي. On one occasion, a man comes to the Nabi of Allah, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than what I love myself. Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than my wealth and my children. Ya Rasulullah, many a times it occurs to me that I think about you when I'm at home. And just having a thought of you, Ya Rasulullah, makes me become restless until I do not see your face, Ya Rasulullah. He then says, today I had a very disturbing thought that the life of this world is transitory. It's a life that is going to come to an end. And a day is coming where you will have to die and I will have to die. But Ya Rasulullah, when you will leave this world, you will be given a high maqam and status in the Akhirah. And probably when I die and Allah blesses me with Jannah, I will not be able to see you because of your high maqam and your status. If you just have to try and analyze and think about what the Sahabi is saying. He's saying, Jannah is not Jannah if I cannot see you, Ya Rasulullah. What's the use of paradise if I cannot see you? It is said that at that moment of time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dumbfounded. He has absolutely nothing to say. It is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down verses of the Qur'an al-Kareem in consolation for the Sahabi. And what does Allah say? وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ, that whoever obeys Allah and His Rasul, then Allah will make it such that this person will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah with the Ammi alayhi salatu wassalam, with the martyrs, with the righteous and the pious. Then Allah says, وَحَسُّنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا, that these are the best of companions. So my respected brothers and friends, this is a Mubarak month, and this is a time for us to reflect and ponder of how much of my life am I living in accordance to the teaching of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How much do I actually love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst the true ashiqeen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the love of sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those that when we come on the day of Qiyamah, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is waiting for us in a condition that is happy with us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to fulfill our duty with beauty. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who will enter Jannatul Firdaus reciting the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.